We come now to the reading of Scripture taken this evening from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, reading in the 6th chapter, the first 13 verses. Listen for the word of God this night. Beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them, for then you have no reward from your Father in heaven. So whenever you give alms, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be praised by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your alms may be done in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners so that they may be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut your door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. When you are praying, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Pray in this way: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray together. Almighty God, grant now that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts may be acceptable, even pleasing in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Jesus never talked about Lent. Jesus never observed Ash Wednesday, or at least if he did, there's no record of it. But despite these realities, I suspect that our observation of both is pleasing to him. I suspect that our acknowledgement of a season of introspection and self-examination is pleasing to him, because at the heart of what Jesus taught is a fairly simple message. People matter to God, and therefore what we do matters to God. People matter to God, and so how we live in relation to each other matters to God. There is no one who does not matter deeply to God, and yet, even knowing this, our lives take rather different courses from time to time from what would reflect this. But at Lent, we set aside time to think deliberately about what these things mean. That people matter to God, that what we do matters to God, and that our lives don't always, or even sometimes generally, reflect this. A few years ago, a preacher I know pretty well shot a huge hole in most of the modern practices of Lent for me when he looked his congregation dead in the eyes and said, God does not care whether you eat chocolate for the next 40 days or not. And that's the truth. God doesn't care whether or not you give up chocolate or French fries or cussing. Maybe the cussing part. But not the chocolate or the French fries. Lent is not at its heart a season of dietary or behavioral correction. It is an invitation to consider anew what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ, and to think, to reflect deliberately for a season on what it means to live a life that shows this. This reality lies at the heart of a Robert Herrick poem, To Keep a True Lent. Is this a fast to keep the larder lean and clean from the fat of veals and sheep? Or is it to quit the dish of flesh, yet still to fill the platter high with fish? Or is it to fast an hour, or ragged to go, or show a downcast look and sour? No. 'Tis a fast to dole thy sheaf of wheat and meat unto the hungry soul. It is a fast to fast from strife and old debate and hate, to circumcise thy life, to show a heart grief-rent, to starve thy sin, not bin, and that's to keep thy Lent. No, Jesus never kept a Lent, to our knowledge, and he never observed an Ash Wednesday that we could see. But he did have some things to say about faith and practice, and from there we may glean what he would have us do during this time of introspection. There's something oddly comical to me about coming to an Ash Wednesday service where we will all leave with a visible sign of our faith smeared on our foreheads and reading there the lectionary passage for the night, which is Jesus' admonitions about fasting, because it seems all somehow very contrary. In the portion of the Sermon on the Mount that we read this evening, Jesus clearly teaches that when we fast, we are to do so in private. We're not to make a show of ourselves. Same with praying and almsgiving, which we'll come to in a moment. And yet in our practice here, and in the practice in sanctuaries all across the country and all across the globe today, we're going to leave with the remains of the palms from last year's Palm Sunday signed onto our foreheads. The whole thing seems a bit contrary to me. In fact, it has always sat a little uneasy with me. I confess to you that one time after I had participated in an Ash Wednesday service, I finished up, got in the car to go home, and remembered that I needed cereal for breakfast the next morning. So I drove over to the neighborhood grocery store, looked into the rearview mirror before I got out of the car, and saw those ashes on my forehead, that great big black mark. And I remembered this portion of the Sermon on the Mount. So I grabbed a Kleenex out of the ashtray and, applying a little universal solvent, managed to make myself reasonably clean before I went into the grocery store. Because after all, I didn't want to look like one of those religious nut jobs. But then, on the way in, I thought, well, maybe I should have left the ashes on my forehead. I am a minister, after all. I mean, if not me, then whom? And no sooner had I rounded the bend at the dairy aisle than I looked ahead and saw one of my congregation members shopping for eggs, ashes intact. So I grabbed the Kleenex from my pocket to see if I could smear them back on. No such luck. I snuck out the back way with my clean forehead, without my cereal, and consequently observed a true fast the next morning. Jesus' point, though, seems to be less that we should wipe the ashes from our heads or leave them on as a marker of who we are than it is that we should seek in all of our practice of faith authenticity. We should seek to be clear that our reasons for doing what we're doing are to bring about greater faith practice. So in addition to not contorting our faces to show our fast, and not beating our brows to show our prayerful contrition, and not using stage gestures to take out our wallets when the offering is passed, in fact, he might just add, don't wear the ashes, wear the penitence. Because as much as it seems that we are not to make a show out of our faith for the purpose of making it clear just how pious we are, it also seems equally clear that Jesus has some expectations, both that we should practice our faith and how we should practice our faith. In rapid succession, in his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus tells us three: almsgiving, prayer, and fasting. Jesus assumes that we will engage in all of these practices. He doesn't bother to explain them. He assumes that we will share our money because God loves everyone and our lives should show it. He assumes that we will pray for each other and for our enemies because God loves everyone and our lives should show it. He assumes that we will fast, that we will take time to consider the implications of how we behave and how that affects others, because God loves everyone and our lives should show it. Jesus doesn't bother to explain the practices. He just assumes that his followers will do them. Which returns me to the observation that God does not care whether or not we give up chocolate or French fries or cussing. God cares deeply whether or not we are taking up this endeavor in order to follow Jesus more seriously. Jesus never observed a Lent. Jesus never went to an Ash Wednesday service. But he did live his life seeking communion with God and with neighbor, concerned with befriending the friendless, concerned with advocating for the voiceless, inviting in the outsider. Jesus didn't observe Lent or Ash Wednesday because Jesus lived Lent. That's the real invitation, you see. Not to walk around with some ashes on our foreheads for an hour or two until we go to the gym and they wash off, or even to leave them on even until we're in the grocery store, or to finally wipe them off at the end of the evening so they don't stain the pillowcase when we go to bed. The invitation isn't to wear ashes for a time. The invitation is to live Lent. In his book, Not the Way It Is Supposed to Be, A Breviary of Sin, Cornelius Plantinga harkens back in his introduction to a time when Christians really worried about their sin. He cites a few examples of people who didn't feel that they could take communion until they had righted their wrongs, and folks who worried that their sin stood in the way of their salvation. And in many ways, I am deeply glad that that time has passed. A lot of worry about sin came from a time in which faith carried a lot of fear as its motivator. And the Bible's perfectly clear that love casts out fear. But in other ways, I wish we could remember that sin does matter, ours and others. And we do need to confess to God and to each other. And we do need to repent. And that does mean changing our behavior. We need to observe a season of penitence because to do so is to understand that Jesus offers us a different way, a better way, a way that leads to peace, that leads to God's perfect shalom in which God would have us all live at one with each other and with neighbor and with God. So no, the chocolate doesn't matter, nor the French fries, not even the cussing. It's really not about what we will give up ceremonially. It is about where we will wear our ashes. Will we wear them only on our foreheads? Or do we dare to wear them on our hearts? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.